On a Friday, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. This Sunday night, a six-wheeled rover the size of a subcompact car will land on Mars. To get us ready for the big event, NPR's Joe Palca went behind the scenes at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory here in Southern California. That's the home of mission control for the rover. Joe spent time with the leader of the NASA team that invented the rover's landing system. His story is part of a project called Joe's Big Idea. That project looks at how scientists and engineers take their best ideas and turn them into inventions.
Okay, I confess. I always wanted to see what it was really like in those NASA meetings where the engineers talk about how the mission is going. So I got a little tingle when they let me inside to watch one.
Okay, folks, it's 8 o'clock. We've got some folks from NPR here this morning. Let's go ahead and get started and get a flight director report.
Okay, we're 19 days from landing. A sides continue to remain prime. Our CEB is online. BPAMs are still inhibited.
This is great stuff. I love this stuff. I don't know exactly what it means, but it sounds like everything is A-OK. A little later that morning, I went to a meeting of the landing team, and it was different.
Yeah. I want to be the sausage king.
Yeah, exactly. Just so we're clear, it's not usually this. I mean, we're much more
we're toning it down.
Exactly.
These guys clearly aren't holding back because I'm recording them. But make no mistake, these people know what they're doing. They're the ones in charge of the most critical part of the mission, making sure the rover lands gently and doesn't go splat.
We are 19 days from landing. Is that freaky or what? Freaks
hours.
Me out to no end. Every time I say that, my back gets tight.
That, my friends, is Adam Stelzner. He's the leader of this jolly band of freaked-out engineers. Stelzner isn't an engineer from Central Casting. Both ears are pierced. He's wearing snakeskin boots. The hair, unmistakably Elvis. His team has spent nearly 10 years together designing, building, testing, tweaking, retesting, and retweaking the system that will lower the rover called Curiosity gently to the Martian surface. Think about it. The rover hits the top of the Martian atmosphere at 13,000 miles per hour. 7 minutes later, it's on the ground. It all happens so fast, so far away, there's nothing engineers on the ground could do if something goes wrong. It either works or it doesn't. When it's all over, these are the folks who will either be heroes or the goats.
So keeping our heads, I'm really talking to myself here, but if any of you are sharing any of the emotional experience that I am, keeping ourselves like, you know, chill and focused and not freaking is a good thing to do.
Wait a minute. Did I just hear that?
Sharing any of the emotional experience that I am.
Sharing my emotional experience.
Freaking. Chill.
Where is this guy coming from? Well, the answer is the San Francisco Bay Area, where he was born in 1963. Now he lives in a small house a few miles from JPL.
Come on in.
He greets me at the door with his two pit bulls.
They're extremely friendly.
Monkey.
Sit.
And Moo Moo.
Sit. Monkey, good girl, wait. Let's just chill it out.
Clearly this man is trying to extend the chill vibe as far as it will go right now. His eclectic tastes are on display everywhere in his house. His exotic garden has fish peppers and kefir limes.
This very, very, very bright aromatic flavor to it and aroma. Is that incredible or what? I love it.
Stelzner's kitchen is crammed with jams and flavored liqueurs he makes himself. When he was a kid in the Bay Area, flower power was blossoming and Americans were landing on the moon. But for Stelzner, a career in space exploration wasn't on the agenda. He told me he struggled at school. An elementary school principal told him he wasn't very bright. His high school experience seemed to confirm that.
I passed my geometry class the second time with an F+, because the teacher just didn't want to see me again.
His father told him he'd never amount to anything but a ditch digger. He still remembers that remark. School just wasn't a priority. He was focused on getting his social education.
So I was sort of studying sex, drugs, and rock and roll in high school.
So not what you'd call a pocket protector kid with, you know, pens and slide rules and stuff?
No, I had sort of shoulder-length hair, liked to wear this strange Air Force jumpsuit, and my first car was a 69 Cadillac hearse that somehow I convinced my parents was a good idea to buy me. And I put a bed in the back of it.
Talk about a night to remember.
That's right.
You were probably
well,
more...
I was younger. It was a different time.
After high school, the plan was to be a rock star. While he waited for stardom, he played in Bay Area clubs, watching his friends graduate, go off to college, graduate from college, and start their careers. But then something happened. As Adam tells it, he was on his way home from playing music at a club one night when he became fascinated with the stars, especially the constellation of Orion.
The fact that it was in a different place in the sky at night when I returned home from playing a gig than it had been when I'd driven out to the gig. And I had only some vague recollection from my high school time that something was moving with respect to something else, but I really, that was it.
As crazy as it sounds, that was enough to motivate him to take a physics course at the local community college. And that did it. He was hooked. The fog of sex, drugs, and rock and roll evaporated. He had to know all about the laws that govern the universe. The rocker wound up with a PhD in engineering physics.
I was totally turned on by this idea of understanding my world, and engineering gave me an opportunity to be gainfully employed, really understanding my world with these laws and equations that governed it. Totally in.
There's something practical that you were looking for, because there's something to show for it at the end of the day.
Very, very, very much something to show for it at the end of the day. That ephemeral, not really able to get a solid understanding of good and bad was tough for me. And the thing that engineering and physics gave me was this idea that there was a right answer and I could get to it.
Did it have to be space, or could it have been designing, you know, waste treatment facilities?
So that's a great question. The answer of it is I grew up in an era where space was revered, right? So I think there is a natural ego drive to be involved in something so sexy. And I came from rock and roll, which clearly was, there's a lot of sexy in rock and roll. And so it could have been a waste treatment, but I also needed a little bit of sexy.
He got the sexy. But Stelzner's added a bit of crazy to the mix as well, especially when it comes to the design he and his team invented for getting that rover to land safely on Mars. The system's not a glider, it's not an inflatable airbag, it's a kind of rocket-powered platform that hovers over the Martian surface and lowers Curiosity down on a cable, a system that was once derisively referred to as rover on a rope. Crazy, but to an engineer, crazy smart.
And, you know, it ends up being that we've come to really love this system.
And as Adam will be the first to tell you, he didn't invent it all by himself.
This is way bigger than any one person, way bigger than any 5, 10, 20, 100, right? At one point, there was almost 2,000 people working on this project. So to bring all those people together takes some teaming. And also, I like people. So bringing that sense of togetherness together is important for me.
On Sunday night, Adam and his team will learn if their crazy, wacky landing system delivered Curiosity safely to the surface of Mars or not. Joe Palca, NPR News.